Are we going? I didn't know it.
You do
I missed it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the strange and often fascinating world of conspiracies. Each week, Daniel and I talk about a new or perhaps old conspiracy that everyone has been thinking about.
Sure.
Daniel, do you think about these things like I do?
Yes, definitely. I was inspired by you, Mr. Bob.
So this week, our conspiracy is the glitch heard around the world, 2012. What if the world ended in 2012 and we're living in an alternate reality?
Interesting.
What do you think about that, Daniel?
Well, if it's done well, we're no longer here.
That's right. Maybe it's a simulation. We don't even know.
Yeah.
So think about it, right?
Mm.
Think about what happened in 2012. Think about the specific vibrating tension in the air as we approached December 21st, 2012. It wasn't just a few internet jokes about a Mayan calendar. There was a collective breath holding, a sense of ending that permeated our media, our conversations, and our subconscious. We were told the world would end.
Mm.
Then the sun rose on December 22nd. We laughed, we sighed, relief, and we called it a hoax. My friends, what if we were wrong to laugh? Mm. What if the end wasn't a physical explosion, but a frequency shift in the prime timeline? Earth may have faced a cosmic event, a devastating solar flare, or a total magnetic pole reversal that wiped out every human and their consciousness. To preserve us, our collective observer effect shunted us into a spur reality, a secondary, less stable branch of the multiverse. We didn't survive the apocalypse. We outran it into a temporal dead end. And this speech that I'm talking about right now is about understanding the glitchy new home we find ourselves in.
Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes. I like this topic.
So, what if it did end in 2012, and we're now just living our lives out in a different reality? So July of that same year in 2012, scientists at CERN announced the discovery of the Higgs boson particle, the God particle. Mm. They sought to understand mass, but some theoretical physics warned that a high-energy collision of this magnitude could create a vacuum decay, a bubble of a new reality expanding at the speed of light, overriding the old one. We may have quite literally pushed the button that erased our original universe. Our presence in the spur isn't natural. It's a patchwork fix stitched together by the Large Hadron Collider to prevent total annihilation. We are living inside a man-made quantum safety net, and the frayed edges are starting to show in our everyday physics. We didn't just find a particle. We derailed the train of existence. What do you think? Do you think CERN and the Large Hadron Collider killed us back in 2012, because it is a real interesting coincidence that took place just ahead of our supposed demise.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a glitch between that time, the superb. That's why we're still alive. Don't you think? There's a glitch. So that's why it did not happen.
Yeah, I'm going to share some images here. This is the image of the Large Hadron Collider. Here's some other ones here. This is what may have done us in back in 2012.
Oh, there it is.
It's a ring there in CERN. And take a look at that.
Hadron Collider.
You've heard of the Mandela effect, haven't you, David? Mm,
yes.
The Mandela effect, the residual memory of what we knew, right? So the strongest proof of our migration isn't in physics. It's in our own childhood memories. Millions of people share identical false memories that align with the prime timeline, not this one. You remember a cornucopia on the Fruit of the Loom tag. Let me do this. Mm-hmm. Let me put this in here. Let's see. If I can spell correctly.
Yes. The Collider.
There we go. Let's go to the Fruit of the Loom.
Fruit of the Loom product.
So there's the Mandela effect, right? So it used to have a cornucopia, and now it's not. And a lot of people remember that. So this is what we remember. And this is what people say is actually on the tag now. No cornucopia.
Oh, interesting.
Goodness.
What's happening?
So another one is the Berenstain Bears with an E because that was the correct asset in timeline A, and timeline B is different, right? So they're Berenstain Bears. So the Bears. So if you look, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Berenstain Bears, and now everybody says it's the Berenstain Bears, A-I-N rather than E-I-N.
Oh, another wow.
Change, Mandela effect, right?
Mm.
All right. Monopoly Man Monocle is another Mandela effect.
Mandela effect.
You're there. There's awesome. The two, right? So a lot of people remember the Monopoly Man having a monocle.
Mm.
Nowadays, he does not. Can't explain it. So there's a few Mandela effects there for you to tell us that we're not in the right timeline. So temporal compression. Why time is speeding up. Do you feel like 2016 was only 2 years ago, but 2010 feels like a century away?
Yes.
Temporal compression. Time in the primary reality had weight. It moved through cause and effect with natural resistance. In a spur reality, time is an emulsion. It's thinner, faster, and lacks the historical anchors of the original. The simulation is rushing toward a premature conclusion. The 24-hour day no longer feels like 24 hours because the underlying frequency of our reality has increased. We are living in a fast-forwarded version of human history because this backup system has less RAM to process billions of conflicting conscious observers. We are accelerating toward a cliff where we're never supposed to reach, packing a century of cultural fatigue into a decade. You ever feel that way? That the last... 10 years have been a little bit
so
more.
Fast. True, then, Mr. Bob.
You think so?
Yes, I think so. Why is it like 2 years ago? It's so fast. Now we're like 2026.
Exactly. So, I mean, do you think it's just because we're getting older, and so we just visualize, feel at times moving faster? Or do you think it actually is? That's the question.
I think it combines together. We're getting old plus the scenario that the one that we are talking about.
Yeah.
Right? It combines. Which is, we're always comparing. Why is life too fast? It's just like 2010 is like 2 years ago.
Right, but it's not. It's been 16 years or 14 years ago for 2012, right? 16 years ago for 2010.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing.
But probably there's something changed at that time, 2012.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world literally, but it's the end of something specific events that close. Right?
Yeah.
Probably they misinterpret that the end of the world itself, not literally, but there's something inside the system that changed in 2012.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yes.
So our next part here is the quantum immortality. The species has plot armor. So quantum immortality suggests that the I, the continuous consciousness, cannot experience its own cessation. If the world ended in 2012, your awareness simply slid into the closest viable reality where you survived. This is why we feel like we have species-wise plot armor. Think of all the catastrophic near misses we've had since 2012. Solar flares, the missing Earth by minutes, nuclear tensions that miraculously de-escalate at the final second, pandemics that stop short of total extinction. This reality is safe mode. It's cramped, it's chaotic, and it lacks the beauty of the original. But it keeps us alive. We are the survivors of an event we don't remember dying in, sailing in a lifeboat we mistook for our primary ship. So the idea is basically that every time there's something that's going to be bad, we slide over to another reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we forget.
Yes. Just like somebody wipe out.
Yeah. You feel that way?
I think so. Just like our memories being wiped out just to protect us.
Yeah. Exactly. I just got some ideas of parallel universes and so forth. I have a little graphic there for us. So if this is a spur, what is our why does our culture feel so derivative? So since 2012, we have recycled the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s in this endless nostalgic loop. We are obsessed with reboots and sequels. The dead internet theory posits that the web is now mostly bots talking to bots. In a spur reality, the genuine spark of original human creativity is dying out. The simulation is attempting to generate new content by rearranging a finite library of assets from the original world. That's why everything feels simulated. We are living in a sophisticated echo, trapped in a reality that can only mime the before times because it cannot truly create a now. Human inspiration has been replaced by a sophisticated algorithmic recall.
Mm-hmm.
About that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I like that.
Do you think that's true? Here we are. We're creating stuff, right?
I think, yes.
There's our data center picture there.
Uh-huh.
So is it just living off the past, and that's why, like, all the music seems the same, all the TV shows seem the same, the movies seem the same? Do you think so?
Mm-hmm. Just like the Truman Show, right?
There you go.
The Truman Show is just like scripted, and what is happening is like every time the same deja vu. Just like what? It's just happen again and again.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
It is interesting to think about.
Yeah.
And I do think, I think that the, it is interesting that it does feel that things aren't moving forward as they used to.
And
not any new, discoveries or people making new music or doing new things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So look at the map of the world. I just brought one up there. Do you remember South America being so far east?
Yes.
Think?
That's the old one and the new one.
Observers for the prime timeline swear that Chile and Peru were directly south of Florida, not halfway across the Atlantic. If you are in the spur reality, the reconstruction of the physical Earth was an approximate job. The architects of this simulation got the major continents right, but the fine-tuned geometry is off. This is why people experience teleportation glitches, missing time, or discover new islands they don't recall. You were standing on a copy of your home, and the geographical uncanny valley is what makes you feel displaced. The coastline you know is just a simulation of a coastline you knew.
Oh my gosh.
So, make that can't make it bigger, can I? So if you, there we go. So if you look, I recall New Zealand, let's see if I can zoom in there, being south of Australia, not north of Australia. There's Indonesia.
Is it now in the north or the south? Oh, yeah, it's just
this
like
is New Zealand right there.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's everything's a little bit wacky, right? So,
mm-hmm.
And then I also remember that that South America was right underneath North America, not all the way off to the side like this, right?
True.
So you would go down through Mexico, in Central America, and then be in South America. It wasn't all the way over here, right? So it's closer to Africa. That seems odd. Do you remember that? Maybe it reset, yeah. But yeah, I don't
That's
remember
true.
Them. That, and
so
also,
probably, Mr. Bob, 2012 is something literally, it's not the end of the world,
the
but it is
sad.
Something
is
for the system. Yes. Just
right,
like
let's go to the next part. So, do you know what an NPC is? NPC? So, in video gaming, it's a non-player character. So we often joke about non-player characters,
true.
People who seem to have no internal monologue or follow predictable behavior. But in the spur reality, this might be a structural necessity to maintain a full, complex world with billions of interacting agents using limited processing power. The system may rely on placeholder entities. Have you ever entered a crowded room and felt like the people there were only loading in response to your presence? If the primary timeline, every soul was a main character, in the spur, we are seeing the limitations of the engine, the uncanny behavior of crowds, the mass behavior shifts, the NPC vibe. There are symptoms of a reality spread too thin. You're interacting with the simulated ghosts of people who never quite made the jump. Have you ever had that experience?
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like
people don't have
you did it before already,
have,
and they said what?
You know, what do you want to call it?
It's something
they don't have personalities. They don't have. They're barely there, right? So,
again and again and again.
It's almost as if they're just shells of people. Yeah, I'm going to share the non-player character. So yeah, that's the interesting part of what's going on there. A lot of people were just taking up space.
But
I always get
no
this whenever I go to the store, right? Because I will talk to the person who's like, if I go to the checkout and am buying, you know, whatever at the store, I talk to the person who's working, and you know, I try to joke around with them a bit, and probably 50% of the time. They don't want to joke. They're very way too serious for being a person who's working at the store. You know what I mean? If you were working at the store, you think somebody who was joking around with you would be a break from all the other people who are not joking around with you. And so, yeah, I always find that peculiar that a lot of people don't want to joke with you at the store. The funny thing, this is, so I've been doing this, you know, pretty much my whole life.
So,
my whole adult life for certain. And it's been happening.
I think most especially the millennials, they have
unfortunately longer than 2012, which kind of kills my theory, but, but it is kind of weird, right?
Mm.
So let's think about, why are we suddenly obsessed with 11-11? Like 11, we're past 11-11, 11 at night or 11 during the day, or 2-2-2, the angel numbers.
Weird, yes.
In a natural reality, coincidences are rare. They are meaningful statistics. In a spur reality, coincidences are system pings. They're the heartbeat of emulation. When you see 1111 mm-hmm. on the clock every single day True. Of the week, it's not the universe talking to you in a mystic sense. It's your consciousness noticing the repetition, limited code of the spur. We are seeing the seams of the simulation. These numbers are markers that sync out individual save files with a central clock. The more unstable the spur becomes, the more frequent these pings occur. We are being reminded that we are not wild agents in an organic universe, but observers of a synchronized universe. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes, certainly.
There you go.
Definitely, Mr. Bob, I experience that sometimes, but not all the times. I think, yes, we reset.
But I do notice I actually,
something
this may have been again before 2012, but
reset
I actually
from
used
the human
to,
world, reset
no, it had
from
to be after 2012,
the globe itself
my,
and the system of the world.
With my phone.
Don't you think?
I used to notice on my clock in my car that I would get, a lot of times I'd be in my car at, 2:22 or 3:33 or 11:11 or 12:12, and I would take a picture of it just to, document that it was happening. And I had quite a few, which is kind of weird, don't you think? That it would happen so often.
Yes.
You think so?
Mm.
Maybe. I don't know. But I
think so.
I did that for years.
So probably your angel is beside
just
you.
Just to see how often it would happen, because it seemed like it was something that
I think
shouldn't
so.
Be happening
saying
as often
something
as it
to
was.
You.
Right.
Oh.
Exactly. I never did come to any conclusion. Sorry. I wish I would have stuck with it.
All the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a weight we all carry now, a deep collective great fatigue that seemingly began around 2013.
I therefore conclude that the angels near me.
Nothing truly matters because the consequences of reality don't
Seven is lock.
We see
God.
World-changing catastrophic events happen on the news, and a week later, they're all forgotten. This is event dissipation. In the prime timeline, actions had a historical weight. They carved permanent rivers into history. In the spur, events are like browser tabs that get closed. This reality creates a deep existential exhaustion in the human soul. We are trying to build meaningful lives in a world that our subconscious knows only is temporary, and we're tired tenants of a collapsing backup system. Ugh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? There we go. I'll do my silhouette picture here.
Sounds terrible, yes. But we need to face it, because
like
this life, what's happening to us right
things
now.
Things have changed to the point where it's like, it doesn't really matter. I don't know. What do you think?
A nice silhouette. I think, yes, that's what I'm saying, that 2012 is not literally the end of the world. It's something that resets,
I guess,
from
be.
The old
it
days to a new days, which is just like the computer, to refresh, to remove all those unnecessary things, declutter.
So if we are
whatever.
In a spur, how do we stop the slide?
Right.
We must become anchors. The digital world is the natural habitat of the spur. The physical world is our original home. Digital interaction requires almost zero processing power for the reality engine, allowing the spur to degrade. To ground your reality, you must force it to render more detail through deep tactile and analog activities. Gardening, building with your hands, cooking from scratch, face-to-face community. These are the things that stabilize a consciousness. We must reclaim the physical. Every time you choose a real conversation over a screen, you are strengthening the link between the prime timeline. We might be a backup, but we can still choose to live with the depth of the original. We must render our own meaning into the simulation. Oh, there you go. So it's telling you have to do more, physical things, more analog things, in order to ground ourselves in this new reality that we've gotten ourselves into. Right? Ah, well, it said cooking. I know you're a cook, so you do that all the time.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, that's what this all could be, right? Maybe 2012 was the end, and we are maybe AI, even though it was in its,
certainly. So how can you relate now in the world of AI? How can we relate that
taking
to
over
theory, Mr. Bob?
So that's what we're all living in, the simulation.
Yeah.
So let's
interesting
go
topic today, Mr.
Let's
Bob.
Go back
what
to
happened
the
2012?
Here, right? So,
literally,
how this all started was that the Mayans said that the calendar ends in 2012, right? And so here we are, Mayan temple. So the prophets weren't prophets of doom; they were master bookkeepers of time. They knew that cycles end and new ones begin. We are currently living in Bakhtin 14, the cycle after the end of the world. We are the first generation of spur humans. The dread you feel isn't a sign of madness. It's a sign of awareness. You are the one who noticed the sun looks too white or the sky looks too blue. You are the one who remembers the cornucopia from the advertisement for Fruit of Loom. Use that memory. It's your compass. It is your connection to true north, to your home timeline. The world ended in 2012, maybe, but we're still here. We're the survivor of the ultimate glitch. As we move forward into this uncharted reality, keep your eyes open, watch for the seams, and never forget the world we came from. We are the only evidence that timeline A ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the spur, and let's make it real. B, exactly. So we have knowledge before a timeline.
Yes, welcome to the timeline B.
So there you go.
Done with the timeline A.
Did the world really end in 2012?
Welcome, welcome. Well, we don't know. But whatever it is, the Mayan calendar reflects that our human civilization is something else. They're predicting something. Well, what happened in beyond the 2012? Imagine it, that we're still alive. Yes, we're still alive and still kicking. Probably it's not literally that we are saying the world will end, but the timeline itself. We're ending the past timeline, and we are setting to a new boundaries, a new generation of human
Maybe not.
Who knows? Yeah, I think who knows, we are better now in terms of,
but thanks,
like,
for
memorizing,
thanks for going down this rabbit hole.
Something else comparing to the past.
Looking at the possible conspiracy that the world ended maybe in 2012 and we're just living in something that's a simulation.
What a great.
Yes. Sure, I guess you could think that.
Well, thank you for highlighting that.
I've just continued it on from the old timeline.
Staticradio.com
or here on the 101.
Would you like to plug in something?
Movies, comedy, and trivia.
Yes. Definitely, yes. People support us because we are now in the new timeline. We're better, bigger, better, and bolder. So, Mr. Bob, thank you so much for your time. But not, we're still alive. More to come, people. See you soon.